A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday morning, and so he stayed home from church with his mother. Later that morning, his father returned from church holding a palm branch, much like those that we have today. The little boy was curious and asked his father, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" "You see," his father answered, "when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. And so we got palm branches today." The little boy replied, "Aw, shucks. The one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." It is once again Palm Sunday, the day that we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, where he was met with shouts of Hosanna, as the people of the city cheered and laid palm branches on the road before him, the day that set off the events we will mark throughout this week that we call holy. Palm Sunday, celebrated today by most of our brothers and sisters in faith throughout Western Christianity, so many others waving palms and singing Hosanna, loud Hosanna, and all glory, laud, and honor this day, all as we remember a fateful day more than 2,000 years ago. I have shared before, but it bears repeating, I believe. Controversial biblical scholars Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, in their work entitled The Last Week, posit that there were actually two processions into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday, some 2,000 years ago. Two very different processions. Entering the city from the east was Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey, wearing common clothes, no crown upon his head, despite the crowds that hailed him as king. The people singing the words of Psalm 118 as he enters, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Laying their cloaks on the ground before him, a show of great humility. One can imagine Jesus riding stoically with head held high and eyes fixed on the road ahead. His arrival glorious and joyous to some, but troublesome to others, to say the least. But over on the western side of the city, another procession has begun. Pilate, the governor, has traveled from his palatial home in Caesarea on the shores of the Mediterranean, and he is now entering the gates of Jerusalem as well. You see, Pilate did not live in Jerusalem, preferring the beauty and serenity of Caesarea some 60 miles to the west over the overcrowded and dirty Jerusalem. Pilate has come, as he and those who preceded him have before, to ensure peace and order during the Passover festival, when hundreds of thousands of Jews will descend upon the holy city to celebrate God's great provision for their people, the beginning of their exodus from Egypt. Pilate's entrance, as you can imagine, is grand. He rides upon a great war horse, clad in official imperial garb, complete with armor, sword, and the traditional trappings of war. He is accompanied by his full Roman guard, replete with horses and chariots. They are the official festival police for the week to come. The sun gleaming off of the polished metals and precious jewels, Pilate revels in the attention and the admiration, genuine or not, of the citizens who are lining the streets. Word spreads quickly that he has arrived, and the highways and byways fill with onlookers. This is truly a sight to behold. Two processions in the same city on the same day, Jesus and Pilate, and they could not have been more different. Donkey and steed, cloaks and armor, 12 disciples, and a full Roman guard. At the center of one, the ruler of this province. At the center of the other, the ruler of the universe. One stating very clearly to all who would hear, Rome is in control here. The other stating very clearly, God is in control here. From the West come power and oppression. From the East, peace and love. In a few short days, the key figures of each will meet and the world will never be the same. For one will condemn the other to death, even though, ironically, it is the other who ultimately holds power over life and death. Pilate and Jesus, King and King, the greatest drama ever played out. And the question for us, these 2,000 some odd years later, is what part do we play? Where do we find ourselves in this story? Naturally, we are the onlookers, lining the parade routes. The only question is, which route do we line? On this day, on which side of the city do we find ourselves? On the east with Jesus, or on the west with Pilate? To whom do we bring our praise on this Palm Sunday, and on Monday, and on Tuesday? Do we make our way to the west and wave our hands and raise our shouts for the powers of this world, admiring the beauty of the precious medals and other symbols of status, wanting to be seen and heard by the powerful and influential ones, hoping to be chosen for position or for status, awestruck by the show of force and power? Or do we run the other way, to the eastern gate, and throw our cloaks down on the ground before the rabbi who's riding a donkey, standing shoulder to shoulder with brother and with stranger alike, hoping and praying that this is the true king who can drive out that false king who rides in from the west, singing with the throngs, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord? And perhaps losing ourselves for a moment in the sheer excitement of what could be. Where are you, O citizens of Jerusalem? Are you in the east, or are you in the west? Or are you simply staying at home this festival day? Three choices, I suppose, are yours. Come, bring your joy and allegiance to the powers of this world. They offer you safety and protection. They offer opportunity for great wealth and power. They offer status and influence. But at what cost? What will happen to you when the throne changes hands? What if war comes and you are not on the winning side this time? You know, on second thought, maybe it's better just to stay home. No one will bother you there. You won't have to make that difficult choice. Your life will stay comfortable and predictable. No one can accuse you of being on the wrong side because you have refused to choose a side. You can be whoever you want to be. But then again, who will give your life direction? When the house seems so empty and lonely, who will comfort you? And when that struggle comes to your doorstep, who will come to stand by your side? Well, the good news is that there is a third choice this day. For in from the east rides a humble king, come to claim his throne in a way no one could have anticipated. You know he is here because the celebration is beginning to get out of hand. Teacher, order your disciples to stop, command the Pharisees. Pilate will hear and send his guards. These Jews, well, they're not supposed to shout and sing. I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. But there will be no stones shouting this day. for you have come to join your voice with those already gathered, to throw your cloak on the ground, to bow at the feet of the king who rides a donkey and has no royal guard following. And at what cost? At the cost of denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following after. At the cost of worldly power and wealth. At the cost of dying to sin and rising to life in Christ. Because for you to die, well, that is gain. On this day, the King of Kings rides into town. And what are we to bring? Our worldly goods, our achievements, our awards, our good looks or intellect? No. On this day, we simply bring our praise and the clothes on our backs. As this week unfolds, we will be required to give more. Today, we bring praise. We line the procession route and sing our songs. We wave and we shout. We lay what little we have at the feet of the King and give glory to the God for the greatest gift ever given. We proclaim to Jesus what he has meant for us and for our lives. And we tell others about the wonder of God incarnate. This is not a time for thanksgiving or confession or supplication. Those times will come for sure. This is a time to simply acknowledge the greatness of our God and to do so with humble hearts. Let those others run to the western gate. Let the others worship that which will not last or satisfy. Let them make fools of themselves for a king who cares not for them. We will make fools of ourselves for the king who cared enough to die on a cross so that all might know the love of God. We bring praises this day to the King of Kings. We bring praises this day to the Lord of Lords. We bring praises this day to the Prince of Peace. We bring praises this day to Emmanuel. God is with us. We bring praises this day to the one who was and is to come. So what say you this day, citizens of Jerusalem? Will you head west and bring your praise to Pilate? Will you stay home, not willing to make that choice? Or will you join me as we run to meet Jesus? He is here, make no mistake. The King is here and he deserves our greatest praise. So grab your cloak, lift your voice. The time has come. Because when Jesus shows up, you don't want to be like that sick little boy. You don't want to miss it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.